Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, July 21st, 2018, you are listening to the PW Torch Livecast, a.k.a. on Saturdays we call it the Deep Dive with Rich Pan. I am, of course, Rich Pan, joining you on the one-year anniversary of the Deep Dive. So, I'm excited, I'm happy, I'm looking forward to talking to you. So definitely give us a call at area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. With it being 1 year in, I've been able to interview a lot of folks. I've been able to talk about a lot of subjects. I've been able to enjoy a year in which Wade Keller's trusted my creative abilities and my ability to chat with y'all and provide your product, and I'm very happy with that. As we go forward, more of the same. Best is yet to come, and I am just gobsmacked that this has kind of just continued on. What started as me being a person, kind of stumbled the way through meeting Travis and helping out where I could, to now, you know, doing the show, co-hosting on the East Coast Cast, VIP, popping on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast or Pro Wrestling Post Shows, bothering Bruce and, you know, occasionally teaming up with Mr. Radican for Radican Worldwide. It's been definitely a treat. I'm not going to get too sappy, but I am going to get ready to talk to you guys about themes. And to do that, I'm bringing up my main man, Steve Williams, a.k.a. the one-man weight loss crime spree, a.k.a. the man who would be king of music with his Songs with Friends show on the Place to Be Network. And we're going to talk to you guys about what we think about themes, our favorite ones, and why you should care for the theme that the wrestler has. And so I'm hopeful that you guys will be able to join us on this trip. So let me know, give us a call. And when we come back, we're going to get this party started.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Sala Monster sounds off.
Mundo goes to leave, and Taya says, "Wait, aren't you going to put any pants on?" He just goes, "No time for pants," and he walks off. That also happens to be Randy Orton's philosophy in life. My philosophy, too. See, you don't know if I'm wearing pants right now or not, do you? You can't see. I could be wearing nothing right now, for all you know. No time for pants.
Sala Monster sounds off.
Since 2007, the Sala Monster sounds off. Available at thesalamonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. 1 year in, 1 year strong. Bear with us as technical difficulties come in. And as always, when you have to deal with technical difficulties, I think about the fact I ran from a family reunion, got here to handle some business, and it definitely was a close shave. And, well, when I talk about close shaves, I like to talk about one that I actually enjoy saving money with, and that's Harry's. Harry's is not only a great close shave for me, it's a bearded monster. I like to keep the underpart good because I know I don't want to be on hashtag Team Net Beard. Harry's stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors isn't an easy decision. So they created a free trial offer. By going to harrys.com/PWTorch, you can partake in what they're offering me to give to my listeners. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features, and they knew a great shave comes down to great blades, made with sharp, durable steel that lasts. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. That is a lot. I'm currently doing in my day job a presentation for a young woman, well, for a woman that's 103 years old, Harry's has been around for 95 of her years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 per blade compared to four or more. And their quality guarantee makes sure that if you don't love your shave, Harry's will let you know within 30 days that they'll give you a full refund. So you got that 30 day to try it before you quote unquote buy it. And so you can get a $13 trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/pwtorch. Make sure you go to harrys.com/pwtorch to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. Now, person that knows about a close shave, it's Steve Williams. Steve, how are you, sir? Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Well, thank you, sir. It appears that technical difficulties on my end will be an issue till the end of time, but I figured it out and I'm here and I'm excited to talk to you and the good listeners of the Deep Dive.
All right. Now, I kind of prefaced it because this is also the 1-year anniversary of me starting this show. So I've had fun doing it. Having you on for the anniversary is definitely apropos because you are the master of lists. So what was the impetus behind you starting Songs with Friends, and how does that translate to what we're talking about today when it comes to theme songs?
All right, Rich, first off, if I had known ahead of time it was your anniversary, I would have stopped and got you a nice gift of some sort on the way in here today. So unfortunately, forgive me, I did come in empty-handed, but I did bring the gift of song. The reason I started Songs with Friends, I was in the car one day listening to some terrible, terrible song, as usual. And a certain lyric caught my mind or caught my attention. The young lady said something to the effect of, she knows that she caused too much destruction to ever come back. And I thought, well, I wonder what the heck this girl did. And my mind started to wander and my imagination started to run wild. And I thought, you know, this would be a great topic to explore on the air, preferably with a female co-host so I can get multiple perspectives. So I tagged my good friend Kelly in, and she was on board, you know, even though she has never podcasted before in her life. And so far we have 3 episodes of Songs with Friends under our belt over at the Place to Be Nation pop feed. So when you tagged me back in for the deep dive, I thought, you know, what better way to promote and celebrate this anniversary with you than to go over our all-time good, bad, and other wrestling theme songs. I think this is a fun topic.
Excellent. And so where can fine folks partake in all the listening goodness for Songs with Friends before we dive into these theme songs?
You can go directly to the website at placetobenation.com. There's multiple tabs there for you to find it. You can search my name, Steve Williams. You can click on the podcast feed or the Place to Be Nation pop feed, or under iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you can find your podcast. Just search for Place to Be Nation pop, that's P-O-P, and look for Songs with Friends. You will get access to my podcast along with several others if you subscribe to that feed, and it is absolutely free.
Outstanding. So let's just get the bad ones out of the way because I think they're fun. What
absolutely.
What equates to you, before we even start with talking good, bad, and ugly, I guess, what are the elements to you that make a theme, even if it's bad, for instance, fit a wrestler?
You know, it has to fit the mood and the aura of that wrestler. If Stone Cold Steve Austin came out to the Shawn Michaels Sexy Boy music, that would be a terrible fit. However, you hear the glass, you hear that revved up guitar, you know somebody's in for a fight. Conversely, if someone like, a Gorgeous George, you know, comes out to Iron Man, that's not going to fit. The music has to match a wrestler first and foremost.
Okay. And so, really easy one for you. Where do you stand on the Shawn Michaels pantheon of themes?
I like when he did it the best, the Sexy Boy music, although I'm a big fan of the Sherry version as well. I think it just takes that level of arrogance and really kicks it up a notch when he just subs her out and says, screw you, I'm going to sing the song myself, and just switches the pronouns. I think that is just a hilarious heel move that really worked for him. Next up would be the Sherry version. And then just below that, and not far below, is the test recording that leaked maybe 10 years ago. And I think you can actually find that on iTunes now under some weird WWE unreleased music header.
Where do you stand on Tell Me a Lie?
Oh, man. A tear just formed down my cheek and fell on my Pele Pele jacket, as you even mentioned that. It's I'll be honest with you, Rich. It's the dirt worst song I've ever heard. Just below the Randy Savage Elizabeth wedding song that has been recycled every 5 years since 1991.
Altogether, Our Love Will Last Forever. Oh, man. Now, okay, so before we go into the list of overall bad, I want to talk to you about Rick Steamboat, Family Man. Where do you stand on it? The anti-Ric Flair anthem, for those of you who don't know.
It's a good thing his career only lasted about 18 months after that, because there was nowhere left for him to go after being saddled with that terrible, terrible song. Now, I really don't recall him using it. Like, it seems like by 94, wasn't he back using the original 1991 comeback music? Good, good, good. Yeah, that was just a career killer of a song. Thankfully, he was Ricky Steamboat, who's among the top five all-time best, so he was able to overcome that. But yeah, that was a prime example of somebody getting saddled with an anchor of a song.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, definitely Google Ricky Steamboat Family Man theme. Listen to it and imagine it being the weakest part of a TGIF lineup on ABC in the mid-80s.
It is. It's not hanging with Mr. Cooper. It's hanging with Mr. Cooper's neighbor. It's the bottom of the tier.
I mean, I got a strong Just the Ten of Us vibe when he's talking about loves his wife and kids and does the best he can. But then when they go into the he don't need those women on the road because he's got his – yeah, it's like, no, we're done here. We're definitely done here. Now, for you, for a successful theme, do you need lyrics? Can it just be instrumental? You mentioned Steve Austin earlier, and that kind of begged my little creative mind.
Yeah, you have the Austin music, which really does a great job of setting the mood. And the NWO music is another great example of not needing lyrics at all to really set the pace of what's about to happen.
What would you say is the worst wrestling theme ever?
Birth of Faye comes to mind immediately.
Birth of Faye.
You know, yes. I had my good buddy Justin Swearens, he had been out of wrestling for about 5 years in the mid-90s. And when he got back in, he bought the WWE Anthology music set. And this guy calls me in the middle of the night to ask me, hey, man, what's the deal with this Birth of Faye? Like, he had no idea what the character was. He just knew the song and knew that it was among the worst things he'd ever heard in his life. As a fan, I mean, it's completely indicative of 1995 wrestling and all the terrible things that came with it.
Where do you stand? Because you mentioned 95 wrestling. I'm going to go back a year and a half, like let's say late 93, early 94. Doink, when he was dark. I, for one, loved the Let's Go to the Circus, and now we have Mayhem.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, got to remember, this isn't too far removed from John Wayne Gacy being a literal killer clown.
Yes.
You know, it was not outside the realm of possibility for a clown to just be a full-on evil jerk. And I think Matt Bourne, the tortured soul that he was perfect for portraying that character. And the music did a great job. He starts out, he's happy, he's smiling, and then as soon as that music would shift dark, his whole cadence, his whole walk, facial expressions and whatnot would change too. Matt Bourne in 1993 as Doink is an underrated genius as far as professional wrestling goes.
Now, I think we've delayed enough. What are your worst themes of all time?
You know, I just thought of the Bertha Faye example. Another one that even though it fit his character, I did not think was a good theme at all, was the music that Hunter Hearst Helmsley used in 1995. That real slow classical, that did not get you excited to see a fight at all. You got this gentleman coming out with his button-up shirt and his beautiful pert plus treated hair. And it just, yep, it was time to change the channel when you heard that music. Nothing about that got the viewer excited. As far as WCW themes go, I mean, that whole Slam Jam album could probably be in its own deep dive in itself. You have the Ricky Steamboat abortion. You have Steinerize, which I thought was just terrible. And then the man called Sting, as iconic as it became, it replaced a fantastic guitar-based intro music. That 92 Sting music, 1990, 91, 92, that was amazing music. It was kind of close to the Ultimate Warriors music, but it did the job. And then it's just some lady talking about how he's big as a bull and he's quick as a cat. Like, I don't care, man. Just let me see that guy rock. I don't need to hear Michael Hayes' buddies sing about the distant second place wrestlers. Come on, man.
Now, you mentioned that, and I'll get to my worst themes in a second, but if we're going to talk about that album, we have to talk about Simply Ravishing and how that Ooh. Changed my life listening to that on a VHS tape. That's all.
It was the best thing to come out of WCW in the Watts era was that song.
I mean, you look at Rude's stripper theme in WWE, and even WCW later on, they would add a similar type vein, even in ECW. That Simply Ravishing with the guitar lick and the crunchy licks in the background as she screams, his body's chiseled, is all in a row. You'd think he was sculpted by Michelangelo. He's bold and he's cocky. He struts like a king. There's no way to stop the Rude Awakening. Folks, I'm not Googling this. This is out of my brain. This is the beauty of that song. Like, I could call either of my brothers up right now and just start He's Simply Ravishing, and they'll be like, dazzling, nobody's fool. All the girls go crazy. They don't know what to do. And then we'll just riff on that for a full 10 minutes and cry at the greatness of Ravishing Rick Rude. Especially for me, because when he came to WCW at that time, I felt it was the natural evolution from where he had ended in WWE or WWF at the time, where he'd never got that world title. So to have him have the theme, win the world title, and just be a bad dude, even if it was the quote-unquote international title, I didn't care.
You know, and going back to Rude, he, even before our time, a shout-out to Uncle Bruce Mitchell, he had – in the world class, he used Smooth Operator as his music, which was perfect for the mid-1980s mustache permed out 8-pack ab having Rick Rude. That's a music that doesn't necessarily indicate, A, it's big fight time, but it was perfect for him, and it was a song that was paced just well enough to really set the tone for his entrance.
Now, with Rick, he's one of those guys that you really can't appreciate it. Unless you're a kid in the 80s, you might not appreciate that theme. So I get that when you hear it with 2018 ears, you might – like, in fact, I'm putting up a gift right now. Oh, no, I won't. That's going to throw you under the – that's a little too much.
My man.
That's a little too much. I was going to put up a Rick Rude gif, but the only one they have available is the one where he opened up the robe with the $1 million title and a permed woman in the front row has her entire tongue out.
Oh, yeah. She was ready for Ravishing Rick.
Anytime he talked about sweat hogs, I got the distinct feeling watching those tapes now, especially now as an adult with the benefit of hindsight, there wasn't a single person in that arena that wasn't nodding in agreement as they looked at their husbands or boyfriends or friends who thought they had a shot. Yeah, you are a sweat hog. If he right now said, hop the fence, I'm gone.
Hey, and when Rick Rude would open that robe and swivel those hips, the humidity in those arenas raised about 14%.
I mean, that my dude, kept telling Steve. One of my favorite parts of the Steve Austin show early on was his stories of Rick Rude in the car and how everyone would make fun of his tiny legs. And he'd be like, come on, Steve, it's an upper body business. And no one exuded an upper body business like Ravishing Rick Rude. May he rest in sexy peace.
100% all man, Rick Rude, icon of the show.
Excellent. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about my favorite bads. Well, no, not my favorite. We're going to talk about bad songs. We're going to start with those. We're going to finish up with some of our guilty pleasures. And, of course, we're going to talk to you if you so choose. Give us a call, area code 515-605-9345, and we'll keep it rolling on the deep dive.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Myself and Not Dr. Death, Steve Williams, are here to talk to you guys about theme songs. So you here to talk to us? Do it, do it, do it. Area code 515-605-9345 is how you do it by phone. And if you want to email us, shoot it to pwtdive@gmail.com. Now, before we went to break, I talked about the songs I despise. And the first comes from WCW, and it was the Jimmy Hart-produced Hulk Hogan theme.
Oh, Lord.
It was Pastamania at its worst. It was them trying to recreate Real American, which Derringer, say what you will about Hulk Hogan, and I have a lot to say, and I don't have enough time to say it on this show. I will never besmirch Derringer.
You know, I listened to the Derringer song in my 1986 Chevy Cavalier with the windows down in 2002. Not a care in the world. I was a real American driving up and down the streets of Louisville, Kentucky, just unabashedly. I could not say the same about the red, white, and blue running through my veins that Jimmy Hart produced sometime after 1985. Just terrible, terrible WCW music.
And that leads me to another point. I am a big fan of CFOs because I think each generation wrestling fan needs someone that's closer to their era in order to provide music that speaks to them. So for us in the 80s and 90s, I think Jimmy Hart was at the tail end of it. But then you just look at Jim Johnson, and he just kept cranking them out. To me, though, the biggest issue I have with Jim Johnson is he had a delightful habit of reproducing songs into dust or ganking his own music for future purposes. And while both songs are great, the usage of Razor Ramon's backbeat to create Steve Austin's theme or usage of the Rockers' backbeat to create the Ultimate Warriors theme just screams laziness from a creative mind that could have done more. I always would bring this up with Travis, and he would just argue they were all good. Both, all four songs are good, so why are you complaining? I was like, but that's like having Kanye West take the drop from Blood on the Leaves and just have it go into a synth pop version of Workout Plan. That just doesn't help anyone out.
You know, it's I hate the term branding in the sense that WWE uses it these days, but as a child, I was unable to tell the difference between the themes of the Rockers and the Ultimate Warrior. And I think having a unique sound connected to each wrestler is important branding, for lack of a better word. So he was really only screwing himself and the wrestlers he was working for by not taking the time to work out something unique for each one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, this time last year, I was arguing with Travis about the fact that they did a salute to WWE music, and they did the video of how he created the Undertaker's theme. And I was like, well, you already had – that's a funeral dirge. So you took the funeral dirge and you added some guitar and you used piano. How are you getting credit for that?
You know, I think that speaks as well to the sudden drop in output after about 2001. You had these good to great themes that would pop up every so often. But then after that, Jim Johnston wasn't putting out much quality material at all. The last really banger I could remember was the Billy and Chuck music, which was just all time great cheese.
Yes.
Since then, the good ones they stumbled upon were more of the outside artist influence, such as the MVP music I thought was great. But Jim Johnston had nothing to do with that.
Shoot, look at Dolph Ziggler's third theme. He's on version like 10 now, but his third version of Show Off was outstanding. The one they used when he won the world title. And then from there, they just kept tweaking it, even to the point where the week they tweaked it to the – I have it burned into my soul. The week they tweaked it to the point where I was like, I'm done with this, was the week he stopped – putting blonde hair coloring in his hair and came out as a brunette for a week. And it was just all wrong. I was like, even he gave up. He's like, all right, yeah, I'm Nick Nemeth again. And this is Nick Nemeth's showtime.
Yeah. I think that transition to these CFO's years was crucial just from a generational standpoint. And I mean, do you look at something like the Bayley music, how outside the box that was compared to everything else? Yeah. I think you need somebody who can approach each character from a different perspective, as opposed to, all right, I've been doing this music for 40 years. It is what it is. I'm going to sit down with my bass guitar and talk about Vader making heavy footsteps, and we're just going to go from there. You need a fresh set of eyes every so often.
I mean, shoot, look at what happened when the CFOs went to Twitter when Jim Johnston, quote unquote, tweaked a few of their themes. They're like, that's not our stuff. Most notably, the Baron Corbin change from the awesome guitar plus the motorcycle rev and the spot, the freaking Baron Corbin spotlight ram through the arena was delightful. And then the lights would hit when he hit that final step, and then it's the Age of Corbin or Era Corbin, I can't remember what it was. Then they slammed it into the Gregorian chant with nothing behind it, and then after Johnston was ignominiously let go, they finally added some lyrics, which made it half a banger.
Right. It's baby steps towards a banger.
Yeah, it's making baby steps. It's going to get there maybe when it gets to college, but we don't know yet. Now, speaking of CFOs and talking about themes, I figured it'd be a good idea to talk about themes that kind of stand out to you now. Maybe not the best theme, but you feel like they're the best, as you said to begin, representative of the wrestler who has it. You just mentioned Bayley. To me, it's her eternal opponent / soulmate, Sasha Banks as well.
Oh, absolutely. Sasha's music is the first time when the WWE Network first launched, I think it was Travis Bryant who had said that at the time he thought that Sasha Banks was the most contemporary character in all the WWE system at that time. And as at the time, I did not quite agree with him, but after a year or so worth of tweaks, including the music, I mean, he was absolutely on point with that. I think that music does a great job establishing what kind of character that is. And just her whole entrance and presentation is just amazing. I love the big Brooklyn title match they had when she came out in the SUV flanked by the four guys. I mean, that was just an amazing, amazing champion's entrance.
Yeah. The beat, the music, I'm huge when it comes to theme songs into the lyrics of a song. So her entire trajectory of not knowing if she's going to make it to the point where she is now at WrestleMania being escorted down, or not knowing she's going to make it until she's, you know, made it to the highest pinnacle of her career. That is an awesome journey. Just like, and I'm going to deviate from CFOs for a second, my current guilty pleasure, and I will no ads, I will fight until this is my hill I will die on. I hate new metal. I hate the 2000, the 2007 era, quote unquote rock that came out. But I love me some Cody Rhodes theme.
Wait, the one he's using now?
Yes. Now, Smoke and Mirrors, that's top 10 for me. Smoke and Mirrors, if I'm being honest, Truth Serum might even be top 5.
Ooh.
Because it's everything I love about the 80s in a theme song. It's simply ravishing for this generation, especially when John Cena put it over the top for me. That he was when they did that 24 and he was in the back, wow, there goes Cody Rhodes. I was like, you have the top guy in your company singing your theme song. You made it.
You know, as someone who got to know Cody pretty well when he was in the developmental system, I can only imagine the thoughts going through his mind as a younger guy in the company at the time. And, you know, our Hulk Hogan, for lack of a better term, just comes up on you.
Yeah, that it had to blow his mind. And so when I'm listening to Downstate's Kingdom, at first I was with everyone else. And it's like, hey, you left WWE. You don't need these themes anymore. He even, in fact, went so far as prior to Downstate making a theme, go on Twitter and say, hey, do you know any artists? I need a theme song for the indies. And I was just like, okay, we'll see what happens. And I was like, it's all right. But then I sat down one day, and as I am a big fan of, and I know you are too, I'll watch matches on the treadmill. And I had a YouTube hole I fell into while I was watching a match, and it led to Cody's song, and it had the lyrics version. And reading – you know, adrenaline in my soul, it was okay. It was like an offset of the Sasha Banks type theme. But then when it got to the part before the hook, and it says, my father said, when I was younger, hard times breed better men. And then it goes into the hard drum and guitar riff. I was like, you got me. You took my soul, gave it back, and I will follow you into the gates of Mordor, sir. Because he just enough of Dusty. He doesn't even say him by name, but that was enough to get me. I was like, yep, you're approved.
Yeah, if Dusty Rhodes in his prime was a young, handsome, fit man, he would be Cody. Cody, he exemplifies, you know, the big talk, the cigar smoking. He's like the best qualities of Dusty and Flair combined into one. I don't think he's the star that either one of those guys are. But he's definitely a lot closer than he was when he was near the end of his WWE run.
Yeah, it's amazing to me when I look at Cody, theme or no, he – and I joked about this when Cody got the dream tattoo after he got out of WWE. He is what Dusty saw in the mirror every time he looked in the mirror of himself.
I think that is 100% on point.
He's like, I'm not 330 pounds. I'm 195 pound stud. And you can't tell me nothing. I mean, if I go further, I think Dusty thought he was probably 195 pound black man from Macon, Georgia. But that's a deep dive for another day.
Yes.
Him and Steve Martin in The Jerk are probably the closest I've ever seen to transracial being a thing that I would allow to exist outside of a great sketch in Atlanta.
Fantastic.
Now, we talked about mine as far as the current. What about you? Anyone else in the current era that stick out to you as a keeper?
Oh, man. You know, I'm not as in touch with wrestling as I had been in recent years. I'm more watching older stuff now. But I really like Cassius Ono's real outside the box way of, you know, he has his guy that will do his music anywhere he goes. Yeah. Cody Beware, is that the kid's name?
Yes, he unfortunately committed suicide, however.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that was years ago. So the Cassius Ono and Heroes Welcome are the only two themes he has left. So it's amazing that he's fought tooth and nail to keep that.
Wow, I was not aware of that. My condolences. Right before right before Claudio got signed, I should say, I love that Kings of Wrestling theme. Mm-hmm. It was just a modern day absolute banger. Hearing that in a small venue, a bunch of rabid fans, it would get you ready to go, ready to watch some wrestling at that point.
I was a big fan, and when he brought it to WWE, I was like, this is cult of personality for CM Punk.
Yes, absolutely.
You hear it and you think, yeah, this is him. This is him down to the opening, to the close, to the if he felt compelled, which I don't think he's ever done. He's done the wrist stretch, but if he ever felt the compelled in the middle of a pre-match warm-up to do 15 spins consecutively during the I'm the cult of he could do it and it would be completely accepted. Runner-up in that is the even though they don't want none is basically from what I understand that should have been the Briscoe Brothers theme and they just popped it out of the Thematron 5000 and gave it to AJ Styles. I'm interested to see what they do with Keith Lee because he's another person similar to Cassius Ohno that, pardon me, that had his own theme made that was so purely Keith Lee that I can't imagine what WWE is going to do with him.
Yeah, and apparently he did appear in ring at the recent TV tapings. I don't know if that's dark or if that's going to actually make TV. So, yeah, we'll be finding out soon enough just what that music is like, hopefully in the next 4 weeks or so.
Now, I know you don't listen or you don't watch a lot of the modern stuff, but I do know you, even if it's just the pay-per-views, watch the current WWE. Usos. Down since day one-ish theme. That is a banger worldwide.
Like, I may or may not be ready to fight in my living room when I hear that. I got to put on the brand new sneakers, make sure they're clean, got a bandana hanging out of my pocket. Brush off the gray in the beard, and I'm ready to roll, just like Jimmy and Jay, man.
I know Melissa would fight me in the street if I didn't mention the spiritual third member of the Usos, Naomi's theme, because she is all about amazing. She's actually all about amazing and Lana's theme, which Lana's theme is more to me. It peaks behind the curtain. Even though I enjoy the theme, it peaks a little too far behind the curtain for me. And what I mean by that is if it was the original theme they made for her, where it was like the very Russian, very Eastern European, very stoic theme, and people kind of fell for her with it, I'd be okay. But now that it's kind of tapping into her history as a hip-hop dance enthusiast, and it allows her to pop and lock at will, it's like it's a little too cute. And I never thought I would say that, but, you know, there I am.
Yeah, where I struggle with themes now is so much of the presentation is the choreography with the entrances. Like Finn Balor's music works great with that particular entrance because he times the gesturing with the peaks of the song and the crowd can get into it. But as a song, that is not something I'm probably going to listen to on my own. Some of the others, the Usos instrumental, I could find myself putting that on my run playlist and just going hard for, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. Whereas the Balor music, not so much. Great entrance, but I don't really love the song.
That's a good point. And for me, and looking at the time here, let me take a quick break. I'm going to talk about the theme that stands out to me as not only exciting, but sadly something that was a bit truncated when a main roster move was had. And you'll hear about that in a moment here on the Deep Dive.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
And if you do have a chance, Sean Covington, amongst others, they're on the MMA Torch side of the house, provide great content. And so if you're a combat sport fan or you're interested in becoming a combat sport fan, definitely check out MMATorch.com. So welcome back to the Deep Dive. I'm Rich. This is Steve. We're talking theme songs. We're talking music. And if you're so inclined, we're talking to you. Area code 515-605-9345 are the digits. PWTDive@gmail.com is the email. And before we left, I talked about a theme that was pretty much a banger all time on my run list. definitely, when I ran my half marathon in May, it was around mile 9, I played it because I needed some jolt. And that was the awesomeness that was Drew McIntyre's NXT theme. When he got to the main roster, they added 15 drum beats, and I don't know why.
See, I'm such a big fan of the song he had 10 years ago.
Oh, I can't even talk about that one because it's so beautiful.
I can't get behind this new one just because of that. And had I known that earlier song didn't exist, you know, I may give him more of a chance. But it's like, you know, you can't go back to hamburger once you're used to steak. I just can't do it.
I mean, now that he added the Claymore as a finisher, you never hear the shot that takes you down. It's such an appropriate lyric.
You know,
broken
first
dreams,
time,
man.
Yeah, the first time I turned on, I think it was WWE 12, the video game. The very first time I booted it up, that music played. And I just sat there staring at this menu for 3 minutes until the song was over. Thinking, my God, that's a beautiful piece of music. Whose theme is that? You know, because at the time, Drew was on a bit of a losing streak. So, you know, he oftentimes wouldn't even get an entrance on television. But yeah, that's an all-timer.
It is, and it's shocking. I mean, I look at Triple H, I look at his anything he did with Lemmy was magnificent. The original theme you said sucked. Jimmy H, as I jokingly referred to the "What's up? Is this on?" as because he looked like his little brother, and it has the 56K connection, will always hold a place in my heart.
Yes.
But what won't hold a place in my heart is the X Factor theme.
Now, why you gotta do X Factor like that, man? Come on.
I don't know. Uncle Cracker did them like that. I just wanted to see X-Pac and Justin Incredible go out there and handle business, but instead I had to deal with this crunchy country hip-hop riff-off. Just, it was sludge. It was sludge to me.
You know, it was essentially the beginning of the end, too. That was just before the Alliance came in. I think that music may have single-handedly led to the downfall or the prolonged backslide of the WWE that lasted for about the next 10 years or so.
I couldn't agree with you more. And then that leads into the resurgence and the argumentatively Dane Cena era, in which you had first his Word Life theme and then his My Time Is Now, which they use it in car commercials. So it's not only was a banger, it then went corporate and became an acceptable background song for a mid-sized sedan.
Yes.
And then you tag in Batista with, again, one of the few new metal, prog rock of the 21st century, I Walk Alone. That is a banger.
I mean, he walked for miles inside his pent-up anger. That is just a great line. And also, it goes in with that character. You know, he was coming off of Evolution and having to play second fiddle to Triple H, one of the best turns they've ever done. Was Batista breaking free from Triple H. And the music did a great job of playing into that narrative.
And because this is my year anniversary and I'm really excited to have you on, I knew I was going to save towards the end the person whose wrestling themes always evoked not just a creeper theme, but I felt like a Special Victims Unit episode of Law and Order would be dedicated, and that's Randall Kennedy Orton. Burn in My Light is the cringiest dude bro I might have locked you in a basement for a lifetime movie song I think I've heard in my life.
Is that the Hey Nothing You Can Say song?
Yep. Hey Nothing You Can Say, Nothing You Can Get Out and Done to Me. Now it's time to shine. I'm going to take what's mine as you burn in beneath my light. It's like,
You know, it's almost like the Randy Orton break from Evolution was the prototype of everything not to do. So when they got it, when it was Batista's turn half a year later, they were able to correct course and do everything the exact opposite. That whole Orton era was just, he went from having so much potential and being one of the hottest guys on the roster, to just being dead in the water in no time. And then just went into autopilot for literal years until he happened to encounter Christian in 2011.
And I think the thing about him going in neutral is Randy Orton, despite some of my misgivings about his political views and his ability to just not only combine flawless timing in wrestling with the ability to stick in neutral for months, years at a time, he got a top five theme song with voices.
Oh yeah.
Like, that song should be the ballad of the Jake the Snake of this era. Instead, it's partially in there. Like, if you took, I would argue, if you took voices and gave that to Bray Wyatt and you hadn't heard it with Randy Orton, it would have made Bray that much more of an effective person without the Fireflies.
Now, I think the Bray Wyatt music actually probably is, I was kind of struggling for an answer earlier. I think that is a very well-fitting song for a character as it was presented in 2013 when he debuted. As he has regressed and really become a non-factor, I think that music isn't I think it would go better with a more main event style presentation than the middle of the card geek that hangs out with Matt Hardy.
Yeah. And I love that. Matt,
yeah, any music.
We got to take a deviation. I got to call a timeout because you mentioned Matt Hardy, and I will not let this show go by on its birthday without my love of Live for the Moment. Matt Hardy version 1.
Oh, yeah.
Again, crunchy guitar riffs will get me every time. I can surf a tornado. I can dry up the sea.
Back when we learned that Matt strongly dislikes mustard and that he keeps his temperature in his house at a crisp 78 degrees.
Matt Fax, the man was a creative ahead of his time, and those little things only added to the greatness.
That was great character at that time.
Matt Fax, they were just, I mean, how do you top that? The freaking Matt Fax. And then you have, we were just talking about Bray. Yeah, you're right. The theme fits him perfectly. I'm thinking about Emma's second theme when she came up to the main roster, where it was a warped version of her original, and then it had the beat. That's another one that was a perfect fit. Nowadays, you're not going to get the cheesy Reverend Devon, he's calling my name, but you will get the odd, like Steph's. Stephanie's theme is just, it's not No Chance in Hell, and it's not Here Comes the Money. And Linda got WrestleMania theme, so it's the fourth best McMahon theme. Actually, take Triple H, fifth best McMahon theme. And I'm sure Aurora Rose will have a banger in 2026.
Yeah, something we touched on earlier when I mentioned Austin, and you hear that glass shattering. And just talking about Bray Wyatt briefly rekindled this thought. How important the opening of a wrestling music is. The Steve Austin, like I said, you hear that glass and the pop that comes with that glass. Another component is the Trish Stratus, when you would hear that laughter at the beginning. Did a great job. It's time to rock and roll. I mean, the song itself is nothing great, but as soon as you heard that laughter, that's almost like that Pavlovian response. So, oh no, a star's coming. We need to pay attention to what's happening right here.
Yeah, I agree. I'm thinking about comes out. It's Triple H's Money. I loved, and I don't know where you stand. This is a good one. Steve Austin's Step Up, the era where it was like matches 2 and 3 with The Rock. I am all about the original theme, but when he's like Step Up, because you know the next one I'm coming to kill.
Yes.
You don't believe me to the minute that I will. I was like, sweet Jesus, Steve went feral.
Man, the weekend before that song debuted on TV, I saw Disturbed live in Louisville as part of a LRS music fest. And they played that song. And it was my first time hearing it. It was live. You know, that raw emotion of live music. I was just losing my absolute mind. You know, 18 years old, oh my God, what is this? This is the most magical thing I've ever heard. I was ready to get in the pit and kill somebody. And then hearing it on TV that Monday, and it's got the connection now with, you know, one of the all-time great iconic matches with Rock at Mania 17. And music is great, and it bothers me that it's not easily accessible now. It's not something I can just type into my iTunes and download. You can find it, but you gotta have some nefarious means.
Yeah. And that also makes me think of, because Travis and I went down this rabbit hole a few weeks ago. The Kane theme, that is a banger, and it's a perfect fit for him. When it went from, you had the organ and the flames and just the awkwardness, to the wonder of the one who's gone. I was like, it's tied in Katie Vick in a way that you didn't have to think about Katie Vick, and I was here for it.
You know, that era of music is kind of underappreciated because a lot of the backlash against the product at the time. Yeah, there are some gems in there if you really start digging around, for sure. Between the earlier mentioned Billy and Chuck, and now that Kane conversion too. Yeah, you're making me want to turn on the network and do a 2003 long watch and see what I can find.
And of course, I'm going to take, before we get out here, I'm going to take my final break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Redacted's theme and how it was a banger, but then he was the worst and we had to forget it for a while.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Steve and Rich. We're talking wrestling themes. We're talking problematic faves because the person who had the theme was the worst. And, of course, we're talking to you, so give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. Make sure you push 1 on the touch tone to let us know you want to rock and roll. Otherwise, we're going to let you listen and glisten. Word to Rick Rude. I was talking about Redacted. Redacted, of course, being Chris Benoit. Whatever by Our Lady Peace was probably played more times than I'm comfortable mentioning in my college dorm room, because it was like the anthem anytime I went to lift, anytime someone had a breakup. Just, it's Tuesday, we're gonna play Whatever.
I would listen to it on my way to work if I was dealing with a particularly aggressive group of clients. I would listen to that song on the way in to mentally prepare myself for the battles I was going to engage in that day.
If they could, because there's so many songs, and thanks for dialing in, Brian. You're also welcome to join in, brother. There's so many songs that people have ganked over the years, like Kurt Angle Patriot. Like, I'm a big enough wrestling nerd where I was like, hey, that was the Patriots theme. I have here on page 7. He was the guy who did that theme first. Or, you know, I'm trying to think of another one that was a big theft and people just let it go.
About every 9 months after the Hollywood Blondes disbanded, someone would gank their music.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Hollywood Blondes, Lex Luger, and there was another one I would hear all the time on, like, if I left my TV on at night, and it would be one of those infomercials.
Yes.
And they would just – oh, I was like, wait, Lex Luger? Like, wait, nope, they're selling insurance. Okay. Going back,
yeah, there's
that.
A great story of Chris Jericho when he was in WCW turning on an NBA game on TNT and hearing his music being played during one of the timeouts.
And it wasn't one of the fun things like now. Like nowadays, we haven't even talked about that yet, and I think that's a good place for us to kind of bring it on home. The pervasive nature of WWE themes, particularly in that it isn't the generic like WCW would buy. Oh, back to Chris Benoit, the dun, 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 that was on like every awkward Skinamax movie someone would be watching in high school and mentions like, I heard Chris Benoit's theme last night. it was just so awkward. But nowadays, you know, I'll take Trey to, I didn't take him. My mother-in-law did. Took him to a Penguins game and you could hear like modern themes. They go into like, they're going for a goal and all of a sudden you hear Kurt Angle's theme with him trying to cheer them on, or, I'm trying to think of the latest one I heard that was most modern, but it's escaping me. But all over. I mean, shoot, I'd go to Bills games or watch Bills games, and in addition to the god-awful railroad noise they make for a third down, they would go with Ultimate Warriors theme for some plays. And I'm like, wait, what? How did this happen?
Yeah, the people our age here are now kind of the decision makers who grew up with the same stuff that we grew up with. I think now they're doing a great job of plugging in these things and really thinking outside the box.
Yeah, and they're tying people in. It's the zeitgeist. It's not just, hey, we're going to deal with this music and move on. It's, this is fun, and we're going to tie it in. And that kind of helps WWE. They've ingratiated themselves into the culture. It isn't just that they're wrestling. It's as recognizable as the Teen Titans Go theme or listening to a TV show and you just hear, it's like, oh, I know what that is. And that's the best part of music, because the whole point of it in the early 70s and 80s when the AWA, Mid-South, and others used music videos was to evoke emotion. And I think, as we've tried to discuss over this last hour, good songs, bad songs, indifferent songs, as long as they can evoke something and give you that kernel, it's at least partially doing its job. Steve, I want to thank you for being on. Before we get out of here, is there anything else you want to plug? Any episodes? I know you only have three in, but are there any episodes or future episodes you want to plug for Songs with Friends? And where can they find you, your co-host, and your show?
You know, we are five episodes in. And the most recent episode, 5, we covered Drake's Marvin's Room and Staines' It's Been a While. I think that's our best show we've done to date. And on our next show, episode 6, which we'll probably be dropping about 2 weeks or so from now, shout out to Rich. We're going to do Outfield's Your Love, which should be an absolute fantastic discussion, as well as Lynyrd Skynyrd's Simple Man. So yeah, it should be a fun show. For those of you who are unfamiliar, we go through song lyrics, read them line by line, we break them down, we try to figure out, you know, what's going on, or maybe I just make some stuff up depending on where the day takes us. You can find those songs by searching out Place to Be Nation Pop in your various podcast catchers, or go directly to the website, placetobenation.com. You can follow me at NotDrDeath on Twitter, NotDrDeath. You can follow the podcast Twitter account at PTBN_songs, or my co-host Kelly at KelGene17, KelJen17. Thanks for having me on, Rich.
A pleasure, Stephen. You're always welcome back. My man Steve is bringing it. Not only does he work hard, he plays hard, and Songs with Friends is definitely something you guys should listen to. Before we get out of here, again, I want to thank you. This has been a great year. Had some ups, had some downs, had some crazy folk, had, you know, some crazy topics, but I want to thank you to the listenership. I want to thank you for sticking with us. I want to thank Wade for giving me the opportunity. And as always, I'm going to challenge you, dive into something new, give yourself an opportunity to go further than you think you can. And in the meantime, in between time, I'll see you later. Before we get out of here, I do want to talk about the fun things you can get when you become a PW Torch VIP. And that's not just getting to listen to shows like The Deep Dive, commercial free. You also get to deal with folks like Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, the boss himself, and Radican Worldwide. And you can do all that and more just by signing up for the delightful VIP program. Now, I'm not going to butcher this more than I have to, so I'm going to leave it to the boss to – he paid the cost to be the boss, so he's going to pay the cost to tell you about it. Have a great week, and keep diving.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free addition to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
No.